Welcome to The Comeback with Boomerang Healthcare, your podcast for relief, recovery, and restoration. I'm Dr. Peter Abachi.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Guzet. Thanks for joining us for part two of our podcast on stress management, a critical conversation that required two podcasts to capture it all. Let's jump in.
You know, sometimes stressful things are great things, like a family wedding and preparing, but sometimes there are stressful things that are not good or not happy. Yet when we go through them, it makes us stronger. There's growth. There's sort of post-traumatic growth that takes place, and it actually leads to a better version of ourselves sometimes if we're willing to take it on. Example I think about is, because I grow grapes, when we planted our vineyard, there's a balance between, water and soil and nutrients and things like that. And you kind of want to not feed the thirst of the plants, of the vines, when you plant them. Because the more you stress them, the deeper the roots dig. And the deeper they go, the more successful they're going to become as a vine that's actually going to take off. So you kind of make them thirsty, and you don't give them very much water when you first plant them. And the more they dig to find the water, in the earth, the stronger it makes the vine and the more, fruit it bears. And sometimes, it's kind of like that with us. And, what we talk about, and we'll talk more about some strategies, some pain management strategies, which are so important. But I found in my own sort of professional life that sometimes I maybe focus so much on managing stressful things and trying to do a good job of that, that sometimes I did that at the expense of actually confronting and resolving things, that it would have been good to get through and work through some big challenges, as opposed to I'll just calm down. I'll manage my stress. I'm not gonna talk about this thing that's really bothering me or was really stressful. And I just sort of would pack it away, and hide it in there and just breathe and do my yoga or whatever. But after a while, you accumulate a lot of stuff, and you have to balance the managing the stress with also processing and confronting things. Wanted to bring that up because I imagine you have to navigate that with your patients all the time.
Absolutely. And who knew? I learned that grapes get resiliency training.
What a great topic that would be for another podcast.
Yes. That's the happy hour podcast. That's what that one is. We get some of Peter's wine with that one. But that, you make an excellent point in regards to stress. And the irony is, we actually grow. Where there's a little bit of discomfort, where there's a little bit of challenge, is where we grow and become increasingly resilient. And I'll tell you, as a mom of, elementary school children, right? They're still very young, formative years. There are times I can jump in and help them do something, and I have to remind myself, hands off. I need them to struggle and figure this out, right? It's kind of like, whether it be things for like tying their shoes or learning how to, right? As long as like age appropriate, right? I'm not letting them like go at it with like knife or, cut vegetables. But like, there's some things where I'm just like, no, you can try. I'll coach you. I'll give you some encouraging terms. I'll show you once or twice. You can do this, and when they say, I don't want to do it and I quit, and I'm like, it's all right. We can take a break. Let's go take a break. Whatever it is. But because that is so symbolic of the greater things in life. And so you make a very good point. And then imagine how good it is, the first time they ran up to me with their shoe and their shoelaces all tied and it's lopsided and it's probably double knotted by accident. But I'm like, wow, that's amazing. How did that make you feel? And they're like, I feel really good. I was like, remember this feeling. And I want them to hold on to it. And I'm like, hold on to it, because the next time something is really tough, I want you to remember that you can succeed, right? Doesn't mean it's not going to come easy, right? But you're going to have to. And the other thing too, your story reminded me the importance of stress in our performance. A little bit of stress actually improves our performance, right?
Enhances, doesn't it?
And I bet you've taken quite your fair share of exams back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of done with that.
I'm still scarred from all my exams. So I always remember the exam example, which is, you know, they make you take like the mock tests or the practice tests. And because I know I can pause it whenever I need to, I didn't put as much pressure on myself, right? But when it was exam day, I would score so much better than on a practice test because I was very careful. I knew the pressure on that exam. And so I was mindful of not losing track of time. How many more questions do I have? How many hours? I'm double checking my answers. My performance improved, as opposed to when they were doing like statewide school testing. I'd be like, it's all right. You know, I ate a donut for breakfast and I don't know if I slept that well. And we're just going to get through this exam, right? Versus, oh no, this is going to get me into grad school or this is going to get me my license. You better believe I slept well. I ate a good breakfast. I did all the things, right? And I made sure my performance was on point. Now, here's the thing. There's a bit of a hook on that curve, right? A little bit of stress improves your performance. And then we hit too much. And then that's when our performance goes down.
We break down.
You got it. You got it. That stress load was too great.
So it's managing that balance that I think is a challenge because there's no life without stress, right? That, you know, nobody has a charmed life and never has to deal with these things. And it's how, I guess, we manage the balance between what do we need to manage? What do we need to challenge ourselves with? What do we need to fight through? What do we need to accept? What do we need to relax with? Lord have mercy. I'm stressing myself out just thinking.
It's a lot, right? When you start to think about it, right, and you do the inventory, you're like, it is a lot. And the truth of the matter is when it comes to stress, we're more stressed if we don't feel like we have control of a situation. It's called the locus of control. If we perceive we have some control, even if you don't have control over the full situation, but you have some control, like you control how you react to a situation, right? You control whether or not you allow, right, certain stressors to come home with you, right? Certain things like that. Then you start to really feel a bit more empowered and you can actually start to like manage it. But I am curious about, you know, for you, what you have seen work, whether it be for yourself or for your patients, as far as how do they manage their stress or what has been effective for them? Because there are so many sources.
Sure. I thought, yeah, it'd be good if we share some stress management ideas. And so I would say for me personally, and I think this resonates with a lot of patients, particularly our PTSD patients, is movement of the body, you know, is so important. And anytime I think I'm in a situation where like I'm stuck in a car too long or somewhere where I can't, you know, move around, I think that makes me feel uncomfortable. And I always feel less stressed when I'm able to exercise or get some sort of physical activity. And I think within the area of activity, I've come to learn over the years that there's a few things that are really therapeutic. You know, one for me is hiking and, or even walking, even taking a walk, but hiking in nature, I think there's something really therapeutic about being outside, sunshine, nature, birds, trees, running water, you know, whatever you like. I think it really mentally puts us in a much better place. And coupling that with moving your body and just walking, you know, I think is huge. So I've definitely, the older I've gotten, the more I've started to rely on, hey, when I get a chance to get outside, I'm getting outside and just moving around. So I think that's really important. Another one for me personally was almost about 20 years ago, you know, before that, I used to enjoy playing sports a lot more. And then I had some injuries and I couldn't do those kind of things. And I was trying to figure out what could I do. And I eventually started doing yoga about 20 years ago because there's just a lot of other things I couldn't do at the time. And not that it's not really very physically challenging, but I found that it really helped manage stress for me. And it put me in a better mental health place, as well as, you know, physically feeling good. And I've definitely relied on it. And, you know, it brings all the breath work in and the mind body work in. And that was definitely something that was really helpful. And I think I would have had a much harder time with my career over the last 20 years if I didn't, you know, embrace a little bit of yoga every week. And over time, I've kind of morphed into like hot yoga and heated things.
Impressive.
And yeah, well, I don't know if it's impressive, but there just seems to be some benefit that I get from it, that I've used. So I think those are two things that definitely have been really impactful in my personal and professional life. How about you?
Well, you are in line with what the research states. I mean, those are some of the most studied and most effective stress management techniques right there. Yoga therapy is just phenomenal for the body and mentally, as well as getting outside and exercise. And so I would agree with you. For myself personally, I am a big fan of physical activity and exercise. And I used to run a lot in college, go to the gym, lift weights, and I did kickboxing. And then similarly, had a health situation where I couldn't keep up with that level of intensity and had to pivot. And I found myself, you know, dragging a friend on some Pilates promotional special. And I was like, come, let's go try this. I don't know what this reformer thing is all about, but let's go figure it out. And I've been doing it off and on, mostly on, for the last 15 years. And for me, that is my opportunity to completely just like mentally unplug, right? I don't have to worry about, yeah, go ahead.
Pilates uses a lot of breath work too, right?
It does. If you're doing it correctly, yes, you should be. Yes. And let me tell you, you are motivated when you are on a spring-loaded platform and your face is inches away. So if you aren't focused, you could slip. There's nothing like that for motivation. And I'll find myself, I'll be like, if I'm in my head, if I'm not in that present moment, I'll miss what the instructor is saying, right? Lift this leg, move this arm, get this color band, and I could potentially hurt myself. And so there are mornings where I was really stressed and I found myself thinking, oh, should I cancel the class? And, you know, aside from the cancellation policy, of course, I'm like, no, I need to go, right? I need to mentally slow down and let my mind focus on one thing and be mindful, essentially, for an hour. And so for me, that's been a great outlet. And it's something that I definitely encourage to patients is find what physical activity works for you, right? You can make modifications if you need to, but there's a lot of different physical activities, walking, hiking, swimming, right? That can be so beneficial regardless of your pain and your physical ability. Find one that works for you because the research shows you don't have to go do an intensive like 3-hour boot camp to get the mental health benefits. Even 20 minutes a day, 3 times a week shows benefits and boosts to our hormones, to our neurotransmitters that are directly in charge of our mood, our sleep regulation, and happiness. So serotonin, norepinephrine, dopamine, all of those endorphins, which is, of course, our body's natural pain relievers. And so what a great way to be able to take care of your body. So I personally enjoy Pilates a great deal. And one of my other go-tos just, and this is the thing, I don't go when I'm stressed. I go on a regular basis so I don't get stressed. And exactly. I think, and so, you know, I'll just look at my schedule and be like, plug it in here. Here's where I can get it to fit. I can fit it, make it fit here. And if there's a week I can't, then so be it. That might just be, you know, playing outside with the kids on the weekend. I might just go to the park. I'll find another physical outlet. It doesn't always have to be, you know, an hour long class if I don't have the time. But the other thing for me is meditation and breath work. I couple mine with prayer. Because that's what works for me. But I think it is so important and I'm mindful of doing it on a regular basis. And so I've got 2 little tricks. If you want to share these with your patients too, Peter, you're welcome to. All right. So one of the things for a lot of individuals, when your mind's racing all day, you know, with stress and you're trying to practice meditation and mindfulness, I'll get patients like a week after I introduce the idea and they'll tell me, I didn't do any breath work. I didn't slow down my thoughts. I've been so stressed. And I'll ask them, well, you wash your hands, right? And they're like, of course I do, right? We all wash our hands, right? We use the restroom, we eat, we are cleaning, we're washing our hands all day long, right? All I'm going to suggest is every time you wash your hands, you're standing there for at least 20 seconds anyways, right? Holding still. And while you're washing your hands, I want you to take a deep mindfulness breath, right? That's it. Start to anchor it to a behavior that you already do. And when you anchor it to a behavior you already do, you're more likely to continuously do it. And so what, yeah. And then right there, I'm teaching them also muscle memory. I'm trying to teach them take shallow, you know, instead of shallow breaths, just take nice deep breaths. And so that's one. I've had a patient come back to me and she's like, I bought fancy soap. I'm like, look at you, extra credit on the homework. And she's like, it's so fun. I enjoy it. I do it multiple times a day. I'm like, that's great.
So
that's an easy one. The other one I like is the red light trick. So every time you are stuck in traffic and you hit another red light, and we all have that major street next to our house that has like just multiple red lights and you can never time them in a matter to get you to the freeway fast enough, is don't get annoyed. Just go ahead and instead of holding the steering wheel up at 10 and 2, because that kind of like causes you to go into your shoulders, I have them hold their steering wheel low while they're at the red light and just take a deep breath. Think of it as the universe giving you an opportunity to work on your breath work instead of being annoyed that you're sitting in traffic. And so simple ways to incorporate a little stress management on a daily basis.
That's fantastic. I'm going to do that. Both of them. And I thought it would be good for us to mention that there are some real toxic things that we come across. There's the usual things, like, you know, we mentioned, you know, injuries, pain, relationships, things like that. But a lot's been written and published about just the connected world we're in now, social media, the internet, everybody's on. And it seems like the more connected we get, the worse our mental health gets, the bigger the hit is, and the more maybe stress it is. And in particular, it seems like younger people are getting it the worst or having the hardest time with it. Any tips for, you know, managing the connected life that we live?
That's a great question. And I'm definitely seeing a lot of that as well. I will tell you, I've got a couple of rules that I always share with my patients. And one of them is, right, be mindful of your screen time, because it's a mindless activity and it's easily to get into that loop where you think, oh, I'm just going to spend 5-10 minutes looking at, you know, my little cousin's, you know, pictures that she's going to post on Instagram. And the next thing you know, you get into, right, a rabbit hole of, you know, upsetting stories, stressful things like that. And so I encourage people, use a timer. Like, go ahead and just use a timer on yourself. I think that can be really beneficial because it helps you keep track of time. The other thing that I encourage individuals is not to look at anything stressful media related, whether it be on your cell phone, your iPad, you know, the news on TV before bed. You know, try to keep that period of time before bed light. That's the best time to watch old, you know, rom-coms, you know, watch your favorite reruns, whatever it might be, you know, old Robin Williams movies, right? Something light. Keep it light if you enjoy, you know, watching some television in the evenings, things like that. Ideally, you know, and because there are some people where if I tell them, hey, can you limit your TV exposure? They're like, I like to see what's happening in the world, or because of the nature of my work, I need to. And I understand that. We can at least, right, control. We can control what time and how much time you spend on that. The other thing too that comes up a lot is the doom scrolling, right?
Right.
And that one's a big one. And so a couple of things that I encourage is don't have too many chargers around the house that are convenient. Because if you do, then you stay plugged in and you totally lose track of time. And so if you're mindful of, okay, my battery life is low and the charger's all the way in another room, I'm going to go put it down and I'm going to give myself the really opportunity to unplug. The other thing that I recommend is, you know, because I do know a lot of people who tell me I keep, you know, in touch with my family that's all across the country or in another country, right? So it's how I see, right? Sure. Grandpa's birthday. There's a couple of chefs who have good cooking shows. I like to follow them, right? Some interest. I encourage them. I'm like, change your logarithm. I want you to go and find feel good stories. I want you to go and find, subscribe to like health outlets and, you know, try to expose yourself with a balanced, if not inflated, number of positive things to help make up to all that negative and toxicity. But also it is okay to just completely cut it out sometimes in your life, right? If you find certain news stories or certain channels are really upsetting, to go ahead and block it so that if you do want to see it, it takes a conscious effort for you to go see it as opposed to it just naturally falling in your lap every time you pick up your phone or pick up your device.
So one thing I tried to do is I made this sort of commitment, and this is maybe a year and a half ago now, where I just felt like watching the news on TV or scrolling, you know, on devices, it just felt like it really drags you down, you know, or can easily suck you in. And I was like, okay, instead of doing that, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to read the newspaper, a physical paper newspaper. I'm going to go paper, which is like, I guess nobody does that anymore except me. And I get three different newspapers, you know, so different viewpoints and things a little bit. But I kind of said, let me try to do that. And I noticed that when I did that, it was much more interesting to read about what's going on and less emotional for whatever reason, the act of just picking up the paper and you know, reading around and looking around. So I found that that was really helpful. And then I found, you know, because so much of what I read is besides, you know, reading the newspaper and many days I don't have time to read the newspaper, but I was reading a lot of like science stuff, like medicine and science stuff. And then I said, you know, that's good, but I'm not really, unless I'm on vacation, I'm not really reading fiction and novels and things like that. So I started doing more of that. And I felt like at least depending on what you read, that can really calm things down, you know, stress-wise. Having said all that, the bat crazy stuff that goes on in the world and in the news, it's impossible to not check on, hey, what happened? What's happening in the moment and stuff. And as hard as I try, I really can't get away from either checking on my phone or the news, what happened today or what's going on, because there's just so much of it. And it just becomes, like you said, having a timer and some sense of, okay, I need to stop this now and I need to move on.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, we can't ostracize ourselves from the rest of the world, right? We want to be informed. We want to know what's happening. And so go ahead and make room for it. That's our control, right? We're going to control when we get to see it, how much we're going to see, what outlet we're going to see. And I love that you're still getting the newspaper. That's fantastic. If you have any funnies, my kids will take them. They were asking me what paper funnies were the other day. I was like, oh, geez, I feel old. But the other thing too is, I mean, you could be like me, a working parent who lost control of the remote control. So my kids watch a lot of Disney Junior. So we don't have it on TV and I'm mindful of that. But every so often, right, a commercial comes on, things like that. I'm mindful of also what I'm exposing to them, because I'm trying to write role model that of, we need to know what's happening in the world. Let's go read this one article, right? As opposed to just constantly be flooded with the images and the stories, because it can be really heavy and we carry it and our body doesn't know the difference if it's happening to us, right? As opposed to us watching it over and over again. And it definitely makes an impact on us. But the other thing too, and you brought up another great question about, you know, some of the environmental factors, some of the really toxic situations where we have individuals, you know, in really unhealthy work environments, in a toxic, you know, family dynamic, struggling with some real serious issues. And they can do a lot of breath work, but it's still going to impact them. And right. So sometimes you might need some support and some major changes in your life. And because the truth of the matter is, you know, I often get a lot of patients that will come to me and they'll tell me about a dynamic or a relationship. And I start to hear how critical it is, how unhealthy it is, how one-sided it is. And I'm like, wow, this is really toxic. And it's not my position to tell the patient to leave or not to leave. But as they're telling their story and they start to like realize that it is unhealthy, right? They're trying to take a look and stand back. Sometimes they need that support of, it's not just me, right? This is unhealthy, right? I'm not asking for too much. I'm like, no, I don't think you are asking for too much. And sometimes then they are able to go change that situation. Because in some situations, you can change it, right? We can't change the wars that are happening. We can't change the crime, you know. But as far as some of our own, you know, environments, can we change that? Yeah, potentially you can, right? You can try to limit your exposure to it. You can try to control how you react. You can set up healthy boundaries. Because as we both know, social support is also a big component of stress management. And if it's toxic, right, it can also be detrimental. And so I'm curious, you know, if you've ever witnessed that with any of your patients or anything like that, where just that difference of getting out of that environment made such a change in their life.
Oh, it's huge. And I actually devote some time to that topic with one of my functional restoration program talks that I do, and recognizing your environment and, you know, what can you tweak to it to make it support you and your journey towards better health. You know, whether it's taking a 15-minute walk after dinner or playing music that's, you know, putting everybody in a better mood, or, you know, like you said, watching a funny rom-com or sitcom, or what things can you do, to tweaks can you make to your environment? And a lot of times those positive changes are good for yourself, but also for everybody else around you in many cases, and everybody starts to benefit. But as you said too, sometimes there's situations, there's things that you can't change, right? And you're in some ways not able to change everything. And we change what we can in positive ways. Hope that there'll be a domino effect, as you said, to other things changing. And then the things that we can't, you know, we use, I guess, the tools as best we can. But, toxic relationships come up so often, I think, in our work. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, couples get together at some point in their lives. And then when things dramatically change for one person, maybe they get injured, maybe they can't work anymore, maybe they can't run or go hiking, or they can't do things that you used to associate with that person, it changes the dynamics of the relationship. And sometimes, you know, the other person doesn't adequately adapt or adjust or grow or around that. And then it becomes this huge weight, you know, that everybody's carrying. Fortunately, I'm not a family therapist and I'm not equipped to solve those problems. But fortunately, there are smarter people than me who can help people work through that, because it's such a big deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes it's also not even individuals like in the nuclear family. It could be, right, extended family, old friends. And I've seen, you know, patients while they're on their healing journey, whether it be one of our rehab services programs or whatever it might be, or even an individual therapy, where they'll start to notice, wow, I need to limit my exposure to, right, whatever it is, right, my cousin-in-law, you know, whatever. I'm noticing whenever she's around, I have a migraine for a week long, you know, and I don't have to drop everything every time she calls, right? They're starting to control the relationship dynamic. They can't completely cut it out, right? They're like, oh, our kids are on the same swim team or whatever it is. I'm like, yeah, but can you limit your exposure? Can you limit how you react? Can you limit? They're like, yeah, I can. I'm like, fantastic. Let's shape it the way you need it to be shaped, right? And it makes such a world of difference. And, you know, then we hear about the patient who's like feeling lighter and is now like spending that energy instead of like recovering from a toxic relationship, taking care of themselves or taking care of healthy relationships.
So Sarah, I think one of the great take-home messages from this discussion is, you know, there's a lot of, you know, effective ways of managing stress and working through stressful situations. But at the end of the day, it's always good to have a set routine in place that just sort of keeps the baseline under better control. I think you really hit that home with your Pilates program, and maybe speak to the importance for our listeners of having some sort of routine in place that really helps better manage their daily stress.
Absolutely. What's really sad, and I see this often, is that people think, oh, when I'm done taking care of all this stuff, then I'll take care of myself. Then I'll make time for the Pilates and the hikes. And it's so important that you go ahead and make yourself a priority as well. And so carving out, sitting with your calendar, right? Most of our patients, if I were to ask them what's on their calendar, they'll tell me two things: doctor's appointments and when bills are due. And I'm like, that sounds dreadful. I'm like, I need a walk to Starbucks with your girlfriend to get on the calendar once in a while. It doesn't have to cost a lot. It doesn't have to be an expensive thing, but a nice outing, you get a cup of coffee, you're socializing, right? Maybe you go green tea too, health benefits, right? There's so many things we can do, but the important thing is, one, make it a priority. Get it into the schedule, get into the calendar, get it on the to-do list. It is not optional anymore. Taking care of you is important, right? We don't keep driving our car when flames are shooting out from under the hood and think, nah, I can go another mile, right? We would pull over. But when it's our body, we're like, ah, it's fine. White knuckle it, you know? We'll be fine. So definitely want to do that. And again, it doesn't have to be major items. And so while, you know, great, long hikes are great and the Pilates is fantastic and get into the gym, but also small things, right? You're going to go out and get the mail. Let's add a 5-minute walk to that. You're outside anyways. You got your shoes on anyways. Let's go ahead and do a little lap. And anchoring that behavior to a behavior you already do increases the odds you're going to stick with it, right? Replacing your afternoon coffee with an iced green tea, right? Replacing your 1 hour of watching the news right before bed to reading a fun fictional book or an adult coloring book or whatever makes your heart happy, right? But find what works for you and start incorporating and exposing yourself to it and make it a priority to tie it in. I think it's so critical. And it can be small steps and they will add up. And then hopefully, right, you'll be able to start feeling better, doing better, sleeping better, and just overall managing your chronic pain in your life overall with a much better quality of happiness.
Big changes always start with little steps.
Very little, yes.
100%.
Absolutely.
Well.
Any closing words of wisdom for us, Peter? Anything you wish our listeners might do for their homework this week?
Well, I think it would be good for everybody to have a clear idea of what are some strategies that work for you for the acute stress episodes. You know, what's my go-to breathing exercise? What's my go-to exercise with my body or whatever when I'm feeling really tense before I act out or say something, you know, I don't want to say. And then the second being, and what's my more chronic strategy? You know, what's my more long-term daily maintenance strategy that, as you said, I'm going to put on my calendar that's going to be good for me, good for my physical health, my mental health, good for my stress management. And be real clear on those two things going forward. I think it goes a long way, and neither has to take, you know, very much time. It's just a matter of, as you said, putting it on the calendar. It doesn't have to be a big time commitment. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm thinking.
I love it. You're a man with a plan. I love it. For both acute and chronic. That's fantastic. Well, thanks for this topic. I thought this was fantastic today.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Comeback with Boomerang Healthcare. We're grateful to have you here. If you've enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an update. You can always follow us on social media for more tips, information, and inspiration. Until next time, keep moving forward. Your comeback is just getting started.